Mother's Day. It's a celebration that honors mothers and motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. It's a day that's celebrated once yearly. Sometimes it's celebrated on in March. Sometimes it's celebrated in May. And it complements Father's Day, which is a similar celebration. Father, we thank you today for this day called Mother's Day. There's no place in the Bible that says that there should be a Mother's Day, but the Bible is full of stories of mothers, and the Bible is full of examples of the different kinds of mothers. And so while we celebrate this day, we celebrate our mothers today, and we thank you, Lord, for all you've done and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's going to be a little different today. Thank you, brother. I might come and get y'all in a minute. There are three special mothers that I'd like to visit on this Mother's Day. The first one is going to be Eve, who was called the mother of all living. She was the first mother. And she brought forth two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was the eldest, and Abel was the youngest. She was the first mother recorded in the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Eve as a mother, but we must know that she experienced the most traumatic event when Cain killed his brother Abel. Doesn't spell it out for us. It doesn't tell us how Abraham felt when he was going to sacrifice his son. But his son was the darling of his heart. So we know that he was going through a lot of changes as he was going to sacrifice his son. And we know that when Eve found out that Cain killed Abel, it must have torn her apart. That's one of the parts of motherhood. You're always a mother. Mothers never cease being mothers. Mothers never retire. Good mothers don't. Some mothers leave their babies. But a good mother never stops being a mother. The man could be 70 years old and she'll still say, that's my baby. A 70-year-old baby. But in her mind, that's my baby. She was the mother of the first Adam. And that would be the first Adam race. That's all of a string from Eve and Adam. We all come down from Adam and Eve. So she was basically our mother, lineage-wise. The second mother, and the next mother I want to talk about, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Hers was a supernatural impregnation. She was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. The start of the child itself was very supernatural. But his life was a physical life, just like ours, except for his continued running connection with heaven. We touched upon this the other night, that Jesus was born and lived in a body just like yours and just like mine. He had a physical body. He himself decided to not utilize his godly prerogatives as he walked and ministered in the earth. And what he did was he depended upon the Father to show him what to do and to tell him what to do. And it was his obedience that brought the many different miracles and things that we read of today. We look at him to say, wow, he was so powerful. He was so this. He was a man just like we are men, with a body just like the body that you have. Our difference is our problem with obedience when God shows us something. Miracles still happen, but they happen according to the will and purpose of God. The next woman, mother that I want to talk about is my mother, Bertha Raspberry. That's her name. She was born in Ocilla, Georgia in 1923. She bore three children, two boys and one girl. Before her death, she buried her husband and her first son. She was a disciplinarian. She was the disciplinarian in the household. When Bertha got mad, Everybody got scared. Woman was left-handed, and that made it difficult to block and duck those licks. She was famous for delivering to her two hard-headed boys. You expecting them to come one way, but the girl was left-handed, and she was something else to deal with. She was she had beautiful light brown eyes. She had a light-skinned complexion, and she sported one gold tooth in her front tooth. She had all the teeth, but she had a gold tooth. That was my mother, so you know, go figure. She was a light-skinned complexion and married my dad, who was a dark, dark man. So she loved black men. I mean, not black men, but dark black men. And my father loved lighter-skinned women, so, you know, go figure. So they got married and had these three children, and of course I was one. Here are some of my mother's helpful quotes that she spoke over the course of my growing years. I listened to her. She says, "Fortune knocks one time. After that, his sister knocks. Misfortune." When fortune knocked for me, I answered. And fortune brought my wife into my life. I realized when I met this woman. You know how long it took me to meet a woman like that? ain't walking away. Another quote. She said, if a woman gave birth to the first child and a man gave birth to the second child, they wouldn't have to worry about a third child. And she'd wake us up in the morning and almost singing, and she would say, "Early to bed, early to rise. It makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." That was what I was woke up with in the morning. Well, of course, we didn't get up because it was school time. We wouldn't get up, you know, lazy. And she said, "Early to bed, early to rise. It makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Boys, get up." And we'd turn over. And she'd say, "Early to bed, early to rise. It makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Y'all, it's time to get up." And we wouldn't get up. We roll over. And next time she coming in like, "Ah!" Then we got up. She tried to be nice. Then we got up. She used to always say, "I do not play games with God." She also said, "Once you learn something, you've got it. For the rest of your life, no one can ever take it away from you." And when she would really get mad, and she did from time to time, to where she's ready to fight, not us, but somebody else, a person, and she really got mad, she would kind of stand and say, "I'm a small piece of leather, but I'm well put together, and I cover every piece of ground that I stand on." Now, those were her fighting words, and she was ready, and it kind of shook me up. I'm like, "Oh, my God, are we getting ready to fight?" Because, I mean, when she said that, she was ready to go. Well, you'd have to push her something to get there. She also said, "The wise man always carries his coat." The wise man always carries his coat. He always carries his umbrella. "It's supposed to rain today. It don't look like it. Take your umbrella." Take your umbrella. And she also said, "The longest way around is always the safest way." And then she gave me some great advice. I definitely wasn't saved, and Mom knew whatever she knew, but not a whole lot of scripture. But she always said, "If when you leave here and when you're sad or troubled," she said, "read the 23rd Psalm. And read the 14th chapter of St. John." And that's what I did. I followed that instructions, and I got troubled a lot. And I would take and I'd read the 23rd Psalm and think about it, as much as an unsaved person could do. And I'd read the 14th chapter of St. John. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Well, I can quote a lot of that now, but I couldn't then. My mother was not a good singer by today's standards, and she didn't sing often. But when she did, I loved every note, because she sounded beautiful to me. My mother singing sounded beautiful to me. If something was bothering me, my mother told me, she said, if you ever need to talk to me, you come and you get me. It doesn't matter what time of day or night it is, and I'll come and I'll talk to you. And many times I've gone to her early morning hours, late night hours. I've gone and I've waken her out of sleep. And I've gone and say, Mom, Mom. She said, yeah, what is it? I say, I need to talk to you. I'll be right there. And she'd get up and come, and we'd sit at the kitchen table. And she would kind of help talk me through some crazy something that I was going through. And as adolescents go, we went through a lot. You go through a lot in adolescence. I mean, at 16, I thought I knew everything, and I was a man. And you couldn't tell me nothing, and you can't stop me. And nobody could beat me, and nobody was faster than me. Well, that was crazy, but that's the way I felt. And that's how 16-year-olds, 15 and 16-year-olds feel. They feel like they're the baddest, the fastest, the smartest person in the world. Well, that wasn't true. And so she did that. She also let me know that whatever I decided to do with my life, go to college or the military or whatever, she was behind me 100%. She didn't do everything right, as no one does. But she didn't do everything right. But she was a loving mother, and she often told me how she had to grow up without a mother, since her mother died in childbirth at a very young age. That's my mother, Bertha Raspberry. How about you? How about your mother? This is an opportunity, and I'm asking you to take a few minutes and come and share some things that you remember, or that you love, or that you'd like to share with us. Some honor-worthy things today about your mother. Who's coming?